I hear you want my position, and you know, you can't have it. And I'm bigger than you, and you really can't have it. And we're going to talk about this because, you know, I think you just gotten off track a little bit because all the gifts I gave you. No, the Bible says that when Satan rebelled against God, he fell. What? He fell out of the kingdom of light into darkness. That's what rebellion does. Rebellion is actually the main thing that keeps us in darkness. Now, how do we know if we're rebelling against God? Well, for one thing, if your circumstances aren't going very good, there's probably some rebellion in there. You need to really ask God to get out of your heart. This, especially New Testament, kind of explains what God's about. And when you get in a situation that you're wondering what's going on, the key is to go to God first, not his word first. Go to God first and ask the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, to help. And if you knew this about the kingdom, because you studied this, it says anyone who asks for wisdom, he'll give it to them, as long as they're not double-minded. So you need, or double-souled. So you need to ask him to get rid of being double-souled. That should be your first question, so that when you ask for wisdom, you can get it. And I can't get into all that. That's what Tuesday nights are for. That's what all the teaching back there is for. Fridays, whatever. I just want people to kind of understand what true Christianity is about. True Christianity is about a different kingdom. And we've been operating our lives based on kingdom principles. Some of us, that's at least good. It's better. But we're not really experiencing the kingdom. And let me say this, experiencing the kingdom isn't because you see somebody shake and fall down. There are people totally demonized in darkness, sitting in churches and even preaching some meetings, who can shake, rattle, and roll, do all kinds of things, but they're in darkness. And the Bible warns about that, okay? But I'm not going to throw out what God really has for me in his kingdom. If the Holy Spirit shakes me, which he does, is fun. If you want to, it's a blast. It's really great. It's like a super duper high, just to be honest. God's not hurting you. If it hurts when God manifests his presence in your life, it's probably not God. It's like God going, yay, this is fun. Yes, yes, yes. Or warfare, where God's inside of the Holy Spirit's in you going, we got to do this. They're going, oh, we got to do this. It's God in you, the hope of glory. Holy Spirit in you, taking his, having his rightful place of being in charge. Spirit connected with the Holy Spirit is what happens when you're born again. Your spirit connects with the Holy Spirit. Before that, you are dead. You're dead while you're alive. There is no other way. There's no other way to be in the kingdom. There's no other way to get there. There's no other way to even have the deposit for it, unless you really hate sin, repent of sin, and ask Jesus Christ, who died for that sin, to ask him really sincerely to be Lord, which Lord means master over all. And then he's like, yes. And then he sends his Holy Spirit. Whew. That's what makes you in the kingdom. Not even quoting all of this. Now, if I'm in the kingdom because I asked Christ in my heart, or I'm the kingdom's in me, the kingdom's come to me, but I haven't yet really entered into the kingdom because he's in me, but I don't know he's even there. I don't acknowledge it. I don't listen to him. I don't understand what he's talking about. Why? Because I haven't seriously renewed my mind. The Bible says that our intellect, that's our brains, have been darkened because we've been in the kingdom of darkness. In other words, there's not a single person before they read this in the presence of God, in the light of God, there's not a single person whose thinking isn't wrong. Your thinking is wrong until your thinking agrees with this. Okay, it's just like, here's the laws, here's how it works. So if you don't even read this, and I know the early church, they didn't have this, but let's get past that a minute, because what they did have were men who sat with Jesus Christ himself and learned of him. And those were the men who taught. Those were the men who taught what we get in here, okay? So it wasn't like they didn't have this. They actually had it in verbal form being preached and taught, and they're writing these letters. They actually had these exact same letters because that's what most of the Bible is. And they had the eyewitness that they talk about. So let's get rid of the idea that nobody's ever had the Bible. Because what this is a witness of these people who hung out with the king and who heard him preach the kingdom. So what Jesus was doing to his with his disciples on the earth is what a lot of churches are doing now, which is fine, but we should be beyond that. He's actually talking. Hello, can we help you? He's actually talking. Jesus was telling them it would be the same, except he was demonstrating it. It would be the same as someone sitting down and teaching you for 3 years about what it was going to be like to live in another country. Now, here's how it's going to happen. This is what you're going to have to be prepared for. This is the way the economics works. This is the way the justice system works. This is the way everything works. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did with those, especially the 12, but there were 100. I think it was 70 that were pretty close, and there was another 120. And he had these different levels of teaching them while he was demonstrating the kingdom. And let me say that. When God healed people back then, he was demonstrating the kingdom. What was he doing? Hey, you guys that I'm teaching to kind of come into the kingdom, you know, come to this other country, let me show you how it works. There's so much love in the kingdom by the Father. For every human being, there's so much love that you see this lady as she's weeping as her child is in that coffin. In the kingdom, because I'm of the kingdom. I'm in flesh. I'm visiting your kingdom, but I'm of another kingdom. I'm actually the king of the other kingdom. And there's this love and this compassion in the kingdom. I cannot stand for this kid to be in that coffin and that woman crying like this. So I'm going to go raise this kid up from the dead. And the reason that Jesus, I believe, didn't heal them all and do all this, and there's places where he healed everybody that was there, but he didn't solve everything, was because he wasn't here just to make everybody okay in this world. He really came to get everybody free from this world and into the kingdom. And when he demonstrated these things with those who were following him and close by him, those he was going to, he already knew the church was going to start with them. He wanted to demonstrate the kingdom. He wasn't proven anything. And this is something God wants to set people free from here this morning and even as we continue to seek the Lord. But he wasn't proving anything. See, you only have to prove something if you're in darkness. You only have to prove that you're smart, that you're able to make money, that you're pretty, that you're successful, that you're lovable. You only have to prove these things because you don't believe them yourself. Somewhere in you, there's an insecurity. Somewhere in you, you need that thing to validate your life. And Satan has set you up for that. He's either set you up to be a dropout in school so you feel dumb deep down and you've got to prove that that's not true, that you've been through a divorce and therefore there's something so broken with you in relationships and you've got to prove that that's not true, or you were so poor growing up or something, and you got to prove that you can be rich or there's something wrong with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's all these scenarios. You've got to prove something to your dad because you came from a wealthy family, and you got to prove you can handle it. And so you got to prove something to everybody so you're going to marry outside of your race, or you got to marry in your race. Or it's a million things that you're proving that you don't even know you're trying to prove. because that seems normal to you, because in darkness it is. In darkness, Satan sets everybody up to have to prove something. Why? Because that way he can continually condemn you, mock you, and create you into what he wants, the whole time tormenting you. And you live trying to prove something. That's darkness. And then when you're trying to prove something, it always backfires one way or the other. And then you feel like God failed you, or you feel rejected, or you go back into that hurt place and take on all those things. Says, I'm not going to try anymore. Every time I try, it fails. Every time I step out, it fails. Do you, folks, oh, in the kingdom of darkness, with wrong understanding about God, wrong understanding about you, wrong understanding about everything, you're never going to really walk into the kind of freedom and what God has for you. And then we constantly feel, I did something wrong, I'm rejected, God, where are you, blah, blah, and bitterness, 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 bitterness. And so I just want you to know, you are on a journey from the minute you accept Christ. And if you don't know him, then let me tell you, you can be as good as you can try to be, but if God's not living inside of you for real, there's nothing going on. There's nothing, you're going to hell. I mean, you can show up to church every single week. You can try to be good. You can also pretend God is living inside of you. But if you're not convicted of sin and your life changing, you might have just gone up to an altar call and intellectually pleased mommy and daddy or your spouse. But nothing really happened because God knows. See, Holy Spirit can't be fooled. He knows if you hate sin and really accepted him. Do you get that? Because there's a lot of hypocrites. There's a lot of people who aren't saved sitting in churches. And I hate to see the day they stand before this awesome God and they think they're coming in and he has to say, away from me, you work of iniquity. I don't even know you. I don't know you. You never got into the kingdom. There's no Holy Spirit. You know, there's who fooled you? Let me tell you something. The Bible says you're self-deceived, which means you don't get it. If you hear the word and it doesn't become real in your life, do you get that? You're self-deceived if you hear the word and you don't, and it doesn't become real in your life. Because self-deceived means you don't get it. So the only thing I can help to do is to bust that through to you, that if you hear it, but it's not changing your actions and your behavior and your heart. Well, first of all, your heart, your actions, your behavior, you might need to get saved. You know, we had a man here for years who said the right things, tried, but he kept being drawn to his old sin and treating his family wrong and hardness and couldn't break through. And one day God just said, ask him if he's saved. Everything, what do you mean he's got to be saved? He's been here for, you know, since the church has been here, and he's heard all the teaching. He hasn't missed hardly a meeting. He's active on helping with stuff. But God says, yeah, but there's no kingdom in him. How do you think he's going to get free from the bondage with no kingdom in him? Just because he's learned how to mimic all the right words. And he didn't even know there was no kingdom in him. Folks, if this is hard for you, constantly hard for you, can I suggest that you get saved? Just a suggestion. Because doing this without seeing love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, and patience develop in your life means you're not doing this. If you really are the same that you were, but now you feel like you got friends, that's not friends. A friend needs to tell you, hell's hot. You really don't want to go there. Not in judging, not in like you can't get in, but in saying, you know, God really changes you. Do you get that? God's not yay for hypocrisy. Hypocrites go to hell. Hypocrites go to hell. We talked about it before, because God is about to shake everything that can be shaken. Now, there's a big difference in someone who is struggling with darkness because of what the enemy has done, and they don't know how to get free. But they recognize in the kingdom, I've studied and I've listened and I've heard, and this isn't supposed to be happening. So help, help. And then God's like, okay, I'm going to help. I'm going to send you to a different church. I'm going to let you hear this message. I'm going to do this. I'm going to help somebody come alongside you and walk you through until you can see correctly. And that's what real ministry is. It's not giving up on people. But it's being honest with people. It's saying, wait, you're blind here. You're blind here. Let's take these blinders off. Show me, Holy Spirit, how to help. Even if other people says that doesn't look like love. And so there's a real ministry that God wants to bring forth from this place. I know I started all this with the vision. Everybody, is she ever going to tell us what that is? We'll talk about it at the meeting this afternoon. But really, Lord's put it in my heart. When my son said to me, he knows. When my son said to me, right in Hollywood, he says, Mom, I'm not going to church, but I meet with a group of friends every week and we talk about the Bible. And he started saying some stuff from the Bible. And he's probably the main one leading in that little group because he knows more than he thinks he knows just for living it. But he says, Mom, all the churches are full of hypocrites and it's corrupt and it's all about money. And I'm like, well, you haven't been to all the churches. Sounds a little to me like you're a little bit judgmental and critical. And I really think that especially the college age kids, that's where they're coming from. They've done church and all they could see was the junk. But you know, they still got the good because God's a good God and seed really falls and it brings forth something. So he says, and then he says what's shocking. And I said, well, everybody's not like that. Everybody's not doing this for money. Do you know how mad my kids were when I quit a job to do this for free for years? Mom, we could have had a summer home. You're college educated. You could have done this. You could have done that. Why? All you make is money for that church. Like the church is the enemy. And that's how they felt for a while. You know, why don't you take a bigger salary? You don't have to go to the Philippines. I'm not telling you how wonderful their hearts are, but you know, this is what they're seeing. They're seeing it from a selfish standpoint. They're seeing it from, hey, if you were working a real job and bringing him a real paycheck, we would have more stuff. And I said to him, no, you wouldn't, because Dad and I don't care about that stuff, so you still wouldn't have that stuff. But see, in their thinking, the enemy comes in and says, look what self, you know, and what's so cool now, he's saying, well, Mom, you didn't do that. And I'm not bragging about me. It's because I've been killed by, I got smashed, you know. The enemy whopped me good. And I just decided I'm going to live for God. I got in the kingdom with eyes wide open. Because having God in me but not living in the kingdom was painful. Having God in me and knowing the promises of the kingdom was painful. I decided to get in. But not until, it was either get in or walk away from God. I'm not trying to say I did anything great. I actually am just so thankful for God's faithfulness because there was a lot of temptation. I'm sure there was a lot of temptation to just say this doesn't work and just live blind. God living in me, but blind, you know, until I barely get to heaven and waste my life, honestly. But anyway, so for my son to say, Mom, what you have is different. You really help people. You really help people and you really try to do it by the Bible and all this. And that is the first compliment my son has ever said. I've said that. But I'm saying all that because God began to give me vision when he said, but we sit around and we talk about this stuff. And I said, well, where is the fivefold ministry when you're sitting around talking about this stuff? What do you mean? I said in Ephesians, it says, until we come to the fullness, full measure of Christ, there needs to be a fivefold ministry. You know, who's the evangelist in your group anointed by God? Who's the teacher who's really studied and been taught by God and even maybe like Travis has gone through the schooling to really be taught? Who's the teacher? Who's the prophet in your group who really hears God and really stirs you to hear God for yourself? Who's got apostolic understanding of vision and what God's really about and what this is about? Where are these people sitting there in your little group? And let's be real, most of those aren't in the church either, so that's why it's the way it is. But I said, where are they? And he just got, well, I said, it's in Ephesians. And that's what the Lord said to me. We've got to get a new wineskin. If we could get a place with the fivefold ministry operating, but not looking their concept of church, then we could go and get these intellectual kids and get them into what I've called them to. So we're praying about it. How do we do that? Then the Lord starts setting me free when I got free from love of money a few weeks ago. He said, why don't you do it? Why don't you come up with a chain of whatever, restaurants, coffee houses, whatever, and why don't you do it? Why don't you do it? If Starbucks can do it, you can do it. I think, well, Lord, I gave all that up. He said, what does the Bible say? You haven't given up houses, lands, or anything that he won't give it back to you here. It's just you got to get to that place. Now, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't have a clue. Here's what I know. I'm on a brand new journey. I'm excited about it because I've done the journey for Inner Healing Deliverance. Just come on Tuesday night. You will get free. How many in this place have come for any length of time and will honestly say, God has really changed your heart and set you free and things are much better in your life and healing? Look, this is for real. These are the people who've been here. I'm telling you, you can't skip that part.